Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Mary of Soul, she sailed on a day.
Welcome to the Outlander Gab on the Air, the Ben and Kills edition. Let's see. Bye-bye, Elizabeth. There you go. This is Erin, senior editor for 3fbyspace.net, and I am joined, as always, just for fun, not for a business, with good friends Samantha. Say hi, Sam.
Hello.
And Allison. Say hi, Allison.
Hi, how are ya?
And in the background, you guys can't hear it, but I can hear my husband say, hi, Graham, it's Grandpa. My grandson in New Zealand accidentally called us, and then the amazing thing about that is he's 4 months old. So
he's a genius.
Yeah, he grabbed Daddy's phone and pushed the right button. So, So I am with all of you people instead of talking to my baby grandson.
That's so, dedication.
Well, you guys couldn't get in the air without me at this point. So
we can't survive without you.
Yes, I know. That's why I do it this way. So there's a fair amount going on in the Outlander / MIK world right now. You know, not as much as there was 18 months ago, but there's still stuff, so let's talk about it. The big news is we were renewed for season 7. So that was exciting. Yeah.
That for those who may not have heard about that yet.
Yeah. Like there's anybody on the planet. That happened right as I was getting into my car to go to your house on Sunday, Allison. So,
right.
Somebody asked me today, do I think that season 7 is it? What do you think?
Better not be.
Could
there's
be.
Too much, there's too much storyline still. I know too much storyline doesn't sound like I'm saying it correctly, does it?
No, I know exactly.
It depends
about.
On how much they mush up the books, because they already pulled from season 5, pulled from the 6th book. Season 6 may pull from the 7th book. Season 7 may pull from the 8th, which is all that's published right now. So that doesn't mean that they couldn't have a a special or a Firefly. They'll have a Firefly movie afterwards to wrap it up.
Except with Jamie and Claire's life, you really couldn't call it Serenity, because
there's no
really...
Serenity.
Maybe they didn't want to get into the whole writing seasons ahead of like the Game of Thrones with J.R.R. Martin, you know, where they literally had that last season. The book wasn't out, and they were writing what happened. So in theory, he could have completely, when he went to publish the book, just published something completely different, you know?
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that the other day,
I don't think that season 7 will be it. I think they just aren't getting ahead of themselves at this point.
Right.
It's not normal to have a multi-season renewal at one time.
We were spoiled once with that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So one season at a time is much more normal. So this already takes us into the end of 2022. So,
or maybe later, depending on how long the filming takes.
Yeah, we'll have to see. What are you guys thinking for when we'll see season 6? I'm thinking that it'll be this fall sometime.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean that way.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they are going to have everything completely through post-production by the time that the first one hits the air, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay. They can still do that.
Right.
And
right.
still be working on it.
It's become a very contentious discussion on some of my, I think we were all talking about this
right.
off the radio, because we do talk outside of the radio. It's really kind of funny how there are very adamant people on both sides of it. However, in seeing who's on which side and seeing where they're getting their information from, lean in that direction.
yeah. And the thing is, none of us know, you know.
You know what? Even the cast and the production doesn't know. For all we know, everything's going to get shut down because of a new virus strain and we're gone for another 6 months. No one knows it for sure.
No one knows. But please shut your mouth about that.
Well, I'm knocking wood.
And you have to, you know, we all have to understand that the production isn't the only thing in here. Starz is losing opportunity cost every day that an anticipated show is not on the air because they are not gaining new subscribers anticipating the imminent release of a show. And there are a lot of people who stop their Starz subscription while Outlander is off the air and pick it up again once it is. And so if there's any way it can get on the air and fit in Starz's schedule, they have to schedule these things a fair amount in advance with their other originals, you know, fitting into that time slot. So it would be difficult for them to not have it on the air for as long as they could manage it, you know. So
financially, it would be a hardship. Yeah, it would be better for them the sooner it gets out there than not.
Yeah. So we'll have to see but my guess is October, and then I'm thinking Bees won't be released at the same time to try to avoid premieres and Bees promotion overlapping. But I would bet they'll still want to try to get Bees out before the Christmas season, which
that
is huge for, yeah, that's huge for
sales.
For publishers. So yeah. That would be my guess, that we would get Outlander in October and Bees in November.
All right.
So we'll have to see.
We'll hold
you to that. I'm prognosticating. whether we'll actually be able to have a season 6 premiere, we really don't know yet. So,
no.
Yeah.
What do you think of the possibility? Because remember, Ron Moore had hinted that the season 7 renewal was going to be announced very shortly, but he also hinted at a spinoff being announced shortly as well. Now,
we haven't heard
that's
yet,
another. I'm amazed at the people, and they're probably not book readers. They're episode, you know, watchers, which is great.
Right.
But they're all sitting there debating that. Well, no, I don't think it should be a Lord John spinoff. It should be and then they would go and list all these other ones that they think it should be. And people are going, yes, but there isn't any source material for any of that. Not to say that
right.
doesn't mean there are spinoffs for other shows without source material too. But
right.
it would just be kind of weird to go in a different direction when there is a volume of a treasure trove of volumes
exactly.
to play off of.
But honestly, unless they did, you know, Sherlock, Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock is 3 2-hour episodes per season.
Right.
You know, I could see something like that happening, you know, taking one of the Lord John books and doing you know, a couple of movie-length episodes, you know, or 3 1-hour episodes per season, which might be as much as they want to do. Who knows?
That actually
Again,
puts the shows in a different category, because what do they call them for, like, the for the award shows? It's a feature. It's not a series. So doesn't that put it in a different
– It's a mini-series.
A mini-series or something.
Yeah. It does. But I can't see – you wouldn't have enough material to sustain you over any length of time if you took the Lord John books. And they're not that long, you know. They're not like Outlander. You really couldn't sustain a 12-episode season.
No.
With, you know, you'd really be kind of cramming stuff together, and it just wouldn't make sense.
Well, but like again, Sherlock has what, 4 or 5, you know, episodes in a season?
No, they have 3 2-hour episodes. So
3 2-hour episodes?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
I knew that they were short, but I don't
yeah.
remember.
Yeah, it's been
a
torture waiting for them.
Yeah, so. But I'd
be okay with that.
Yeah, I could see 3 or 4 hours per Lord Jen book. And then maybe do an expanded for a Scottish prisoner or something, you know, if they could get Sam to join them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's a possibility. So along the lines of we don't know if there will be a premiere, we still haven't gotten into live events being scheduled yet, but there is one coming up that we just found out about today. You
yeah,
about
I mean, I really think that very shortly we're probably going to start to see more of the live events being reconfirmed, dates, times, places, people. But again, with so many things up in the air, even if you've got dates earmarked, I don't know that, you know, it's going to be difficult. But the online events have been doing pretty good for the last year, and we just found out about a Men in Kilts live stream that's going to be happening. 92Y is doing one April 8th with Sam and Graham, and talking about the Men in Kilts with Chris Hartwick. So I think that would be a nice one. It was only a $20. I don't know if there's a maximum number that can live stream or if it's going to be a I don't know. I mean, clearly each online tool does have its limitation, but it didn't say limited to X amount. But when you go online, and we've posted it, it's been posted in your Facebook group already. So when you go there, it'll allow you to choose your ticket to get your link to watch it. And I believe what they said was, if you register and get a link, that they were going to be recording it because it's going to be at 6:30 our time in Chicago on that April 8th, which means that if you're maybe you're in the UK, that's going to be in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's entirely possible that and they said that they'll be recording it. So anybody with a login will be able to watch the recording, which is very nice of them to do. So it doesn't state how long it's going to be. It doesn't, you know, well, yes, it does. 6:30 to 7:30. So it's an hour. 6:30.
I bought my ticket right before we went on the air.
Yes. Yes. So thanks to I've got my buddies who sit there and text me when they find out about new things. And I, of course, you know, pass it along to others. So this was a Christine. Thank you, Christine. but we I think it would be fun just to listen to them talk. I'm actually hoping that because I don't know if you've seen some of the 92Y, you know, the blogs. He's done these before. Maybe this will be more of the non-scripted banter that we're all asking for. You know what I mean? So, and again, it's just getting us looking forward to the time when we can have live events and gather. And I think it's getting closer and closer. So I that's one of these segments on this radio show that I always talk about. And so I'm hoping to be able to talk about it sometime again soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll mention something, and then you were going to tell us about something else. But Christine, the same Christine who let you know about that, Christine Gordon from the New Jersey group, and I were talking this morning. We are both Disney nuts, and we're just closing on buying a condo down in Florida just for kind of vacations and stuff. And we were talking about the idea. So this is being mentioned just kind of gauge interest. If you think you'd be interested in this idea, just kind of PM me or let me know so we kind of get some idea. But we were talking about the possibility of doing an Outlander day at Disney or an Outlander weekend. And this would be most likely next spring during the food and flower and garden festival.
And clarify, just fans. This is not an event with
right.
cast members or anything.
Right.
Right. No, this would just be the girls.
Girls.
And maybe the husband.
Getting together
feel
because
like
we like each other.
Right, right. you know, the kind of what we're tossing around is having one day at Epcot where they have a little set of shops in the what they call the England area, but there's a whole bunch of little shops that on and off sell Outlander material, but there's a little shop that sells all kinds of stuff from Scotland, and taking a group picture there one day and having a group dinner out of the parks another day. You know, maybe we would set up a Teespring kind of thing where you could buy a T-shirt so that we could all recognize each other and have a meet-up kind of thing so you could find somebody to walk around the parks with or do other things in Orlando. But it's completely just a couple of us sitting around talking about this idea. But if you think that would be fun, just kind of give me a heads up and see if we're way off base or if this would be, you know, kind of fun.
You really don't think that you're the only two Outlander fans
no.
that also happen to love Disney, right?
No. And we know Ron Moore is a big Disney fan, and Diana is also, so maybe we could rope them into showing up.
Well, you know, the 2 years ago today, I was just seeing all of my photos, you know, the memories coming up. And 2 years ago was when there was that Rickland in Los Angeles,
yeah.
in Disneyland,
oh, yeah.
where it was Richard Rankin and Ricky Ooh. Whittle and just, a dozen people. And we just had a great time, you know, with or without
right.
the guys, it would have been a fun time. So I could imagine this could be fun just to hang out in Disney.
Yeah.
Better weather
yeah.
than Chicago anyway.
Yeah. And I think it would be a fun event. So, and even if there's four of us, you know, since it's not an event where somebody has to put out cash to set anything up, you know. So it wouldn't matter if there were four or 40 or 100 people, you know. It's something to look at. Then the other thing is last Saturday, Kathy McQuistion had set up an event that I did not have a chance to attend online, but you did, Sam.
I did. And, you know, they did have a wait list started, and they were going to have an encore presentation of this. And I've got to tell you, if you get a chance and they offer that encore, I would do this. I've been on just friendly Zoom chats with Liz a couple of times. She's really a nice person, very knowledgeable, but I was not prepared for how much really cool information Liz was able to give us. Mm. I want to say she talked for about an hour and a half straight with pictures and a slideshow and, you know, really detailed anecdotes and stories about the different costumes that she had worked on. And oh my goodness, it was just my head was spinning. It was really interesting. So again, if I know Kat, and she may even call in to do this, she was talking about she started a wait list because so many people, she was unprepared for how many people wanted to join up. So if you get a chance, definitely give her wait list a chance. And I think she might have even been thinking about, because she's got obviously boatloads more stories and pictures
right.
and examples and things like that. So she might do this again. And what I really
thought
was,
she did say that tomorrow she would be releasing information about
good
a follow-up event. So
good. People who attended, I mean, I appreciate the costumes, but I will admit I'm not a sewer, I'm not a quilter, I'm not an embroiderer, but some of the questions that came from the other attendees were fascinating, because it just took the conversation. After she finished her presentation, she did the Q&A, and some of those questions just brought even more stuff up and brought it to light. It was a phenomenal afternoon. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that sounds really fun, and I think if she's going to do it again, I think, and we just have to let people know, this was a paid event. I don't how much it cost.
$20 or something. I don't remember now off the top of my head. I'm sure it will be in Kat's announcement when she posted but it was a nominal fee. Liz has been unable to work in her industry because there hasn't been productions and plays and movies and TV shows. So it's definitely going for a good cause.
So that sounds like something that would be a lot of fun to see. And I'm sorry I didn't do it last week, but I would love to do the next event if she does it.
Yep.
So then the other thing that happened today was Sam Heughan's long anticipated movie SAS Red Notice came out on Redbox, Apple TV, and Amazon Prime Video. And it was $9.99 to rent and $14.99 to buy on Amazon. And I did that this afternoon.
I think mine was $13.99. I got a deal. Wow.
Wow.
That's special.
How did you watch it?
Amazon Prime.
Really?
Or Prime Video on my, yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I wonder how you got a different price than I did, because that's how I did it too. Interesting. But the movie was not quite what I expected, but this is the genre of movie that I enjoy. I like political thrillers. And I thought he did a terrific job. I thought he was really good in this role.
I actually enjoyed it too. It was actually more enjoyable to me than some of the other movies I've seen him in. So he's definitely come a long way. And this really showed us, though, that he can be a leading male role, you know, in a movie and hold the movie himself. And I'm glad he stayed away from an American accent.
Yeah.
But no, he was I thought he did good. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't followed it at all, this is a book by Andy McNabb, and Andy describes himself as a psychopath, and the movie starts out, this is not a spoiler, but saying that psychopaths are a small percentage of the population, and they have no empathy and don't know how to love, but psychopaths who have learned how to love or can love are an even smaller percent of the population. Right. And Sam is basically playing Andy McNabb, the author of the book. And I have the book, but I haven't read it yet. Who is an SAS operative, and that's like the British Special Forces. And it starts with a horrific incident with quasi-military contractors, and Sam and his group are sent in to arrest these contractors at some point, these military contractors. And it was interesting because I didn't know how realistic it was that you would actually post on the news on TV that you were, you know, that these red notice is what the British call their, I guess, like a subpoena or something, you know, or an arrest notice.
Interesting.
You know, kind of warning.
America's most wanted. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, warning the criminals that were coming to get you. But it was interesting. Tom Buckingham, Sam's character, is a very wealthy young heir to a Downton Abbey house, you know, and he's planning to ask his girlfriend to marry him, and as I'm watching this, I was recognizing so many of the actors in this.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of making a note. Hannah John Kamen played Sophie, Tom Buckingham's girlfriend, and Hannah is an action star in her own right. For 5 seasons, she starred in a sci-fi network show called Killjoys, She was actually the lead in the show, and she was a kick-ass female. You know, absolutely. She played an assassin, reformed, attempting to not be an assassin.
I wonder if she tried out first for Ruby Rose's character and then got cast as the girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, she was in a small scene in Star Wars, and I've seen her in a couple other things, but she would have been good in that role too. And I wasn't absolutely crazy about Ruby Rose. I haven't seen her in anything else, but
I've never seen her in anything else, but I got to tell you, I think I got a little girl crush on her. I thought she was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was an interesting movie. I'll be writing a review for Three of My Space that should be published tomorrow. So we don't want to give away too much of the movie, but just kind of let you know that if you like action thrillers or you just like to watch Sam, and he did get shot in the butt at one point, but if you like either of those things, it's worth your money. So
if you like Sam's butt, is that what you were saying?
Well, you didn't actually see Sam's butt, but he did get shot in the butt at one point. So.
Well, we'll be renting it. We'll be renting it this weekend or buying it or whatever. We'll have to see.
Very good. Very good.
So,
all right. On to our main attraction and why we are here. So if you are interested in chatting with us about SAS, Outlander, or Men in Kilts, which we're going to discuss right now, give us a call, 929-477-3898. We will be happy to take your call and chat about anything you would like to chat about. Men in Kilts this weekend. What did we think?
I don't want to sound like a broken record. It went by so
fast.
So fast.
Well, I just wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you're like reaching to find something enough to write about in a review?
Did you see how short my review was this week?
That's what I was asking. It's got to be hard to do because there's not enough to talk about. They just whip through everything.
I mean, are really cute moments. Like, I actually enjoyed Sam and the darn midges. I mean, because I've had that feeling where these bugs just go around your head and your face, and it's awful.
You could
see
he was like, oh, God, it's in my ear. Like,
yeah, I felt really bad for him, but I was laughing at him at the same time.
And who else got itchy watching that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you bring them home, they're all in your clothes and everything else.
Ugh.
So, mm-mm. Yes, it's mosquitoes love me, so I could. And it was funny watching him wave all over and, you know, trying to get rid of these midges, and Graham is just sitting there like,
So, you know, the Gaelic speaker woman, she was... They were getting to her. She was trying to be cool about it, but she like was rubbing her eyes. And... What would they set up outside in a situation like that?
Yeah.
It was funny for us to watch, but we might have gotten some more interesting Gaelic stuff if there hadn't been so much distraction.
Right.
Well, it's COVID, so probably it was a safety thing to be outside.
You're right.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, they've done other stuff inside, but yeah. Certainly
it was
would
a
be
pretty
easier
garden,
safety-wise.
But.
You know, oh, yeah.
And I wasn't crazy about her standing at a podium,
yeah.
you know,
she could have
doing
just
the
been
whole
sitting on a bench
thing.
Across from them.
Right.
Chatting.
I didn't feel like that really led to anything to the proceedings. The giant scissors over at Stuart Christie's was fun.
Oh, I love those. That was so cool. I'd like to touch those scissors. I don't know why. They just seem cool.
Well, you're the sewer in our group. You know, Allison, if you don't know, makes great masks, and you can find them on her Facebook page. someone suggested in one of the groups, and I thought this was really interesting, Stuart Christie said they had been around since 1720. And if you remember in the first couple of episodes of Outlander in the first season, they have what Colum says is the finest tailor. They've called the finest tailor to make him a new outfit for the gathering.
Frock coat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was Stuart Christie?
I think it must have been.
I think that would have been a very interesting tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was an interesting observation.
It was.
You know, historically could have been.
And the suits they were both wearing were gorgeous.
Yes.
Do you think they got to keep them? They were really well-fitted suits for them,
too. They fit them perfectly.
That's what happens when you have a bespoke suit. I will tell you, Graham's scarf he wore in the sheep herding segment was to die for. I absolutely
loved
that.
I liked all his scarves.
He's a dandy, you know. He just looks fantastic all the time in this show. What else? So then we had the basket making. One of my issues with the basket making segment was not that it wasn't interesting, but Sam mentions his uncle, Stuart Leaf, and shows the two things they did in Outlander. I think it would have been interesting to go to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
Why didn't they talk to him? I mean,
yeah.
To see how those things were put together would be fascinating.
Right. To go from the small hand-use baskets to these giant structures would have been interesting.
It would have been. I also might have wanted to learn a little bit more about all the different baskets that were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all have different uses, so
it
could have been interesting.
Right. Yeah, any one of these segments could be expanded to.
Absolutely. How about the motorcycle at the beginning? Stalling out. What was that? What did that have to do with anything? It was funny and cute, them doing that, but
I think that was probably filmed from the first, you know, that they probably filmed before Clanlands. But the show, since Starz got their hands on it, feels to me very scripted and very sanitized.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of how I started my review, but I feel like that was a metaphor for the show, that there's just not quite enough gas to get it up that hill.
Well, there you go.
You know, so... You know, it needs just a little bit more. I don't know of what. You know, more time and more in-depth, better editing between sequences, less travelogue and more the Sam and Graham show.
Yeah. Now, this episode had an Outlander clip in it that didn't feel like it was just shoved in there for advertising. It was Dougal's speech in Gaelic. After they were talking about Gaelic, they were discussing, you know, what Graham had to do for that long speech. So I thought that was a good use of Outlander for an example of what they were talking about.
Anyway. My computer's going bananas. There we go. That was, and it was funny the way Sam, too, said that they had to storyboard or scriptboard Graham's 6 pages of that Gaelic speech.
And then they had to make the words so big because he couldn't wear his glasses.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Who was afraid they were going to hand the shears to them for shearing the sheep? You know, in the sheep part?
Yeah.
They started talking about shearing. I thought, oh, God, don't give them the shears.
So we had 2 instances of giant scissors in this episode.
That's true.
sharp scissors, too.
Ooh, sharp scissors.
Got to cut wool.
Yeah. Well, we do have one caller. If you would like to call in and chat with us, 929-477-3898. So let's see who this is today. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this?
It's Kathy McQuiston.
Hi there. Hey, we hope you would call in. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm fine. Well, of course, I had to after all the lovely things Sam said. But first, sign me up for the Disney Outlander tour.
Oh,
I
good.
I know it's not really a tour. But, yes, you guys don't know this, but I was totally obsessed with Disney long before Outlander came out. So, yes, I'm there.
Good,
you name
good.
The time.
Okay.
Okay, so back to what Samantha was talking about. We had our first Liz Bolton Behind the Stitches event on Saturday, and I really thought it went well. I was a nervous wreck because it's the first time I've actually ever hosted, like, a paid event, not just a bunch of friends sitting around chatting on Zoom.
You did phenomenal. You did fine.
Well, you are a good backup, Sam. Liz really is that interesting to listen to. And so this is a set talk that she's done a number of times before. And I knew it was good, but I think everyone really enjoyed it. And I had so many people sign up on the wait list for that one that we're doing an encore of it. So she's going to do it live again, and the tickets go on sale tomorrow. Actually,
yay,
after midnight central tonight, which would be 10 o'clock Pacific, and 1 a.m. Eastern, and then 6 a.m. in the U.K. So U.K., come on, U.K., we're going to do it again at the 27th of March. That's a week from this Saturday. And it's about, like Samantha said, she talks for about an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and 30 minutes. And then we stay for at least another hour answering anyone's questions. The cost, except for £1, it all goes to Liz, and it's £15 plus a £1 processing fee to pay the cost of PayPal charges.
Uh-huh.
And so that comes out £16, and it comes out around $22 U.S. So,
well worth it.
And it really does help her a lot. And then our plan is to have different topics. And she's got about three or four different talks. They're not all focused on Outlander. There's one about Stirling Castle, not only a little bit about the history, but she worked on the cloths of estate, these different cloths that they remade to hang in Stirling Castle. And she's going to talk about what went into working on that, the people who worked on it. And then, I mean, there was like a grand, I hate to say grand opening of Stirling Castle, but there was a grand opening of the display and Queen Elizabeth came.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's got some stories about that. And there are a couple more. She's got a shorter talk just on the wedding dress, but we'll probably put it together with some other stuff. So all of this is being promoted on my Facebook page, which is Kathy McQuestion, and I will post it in this time instead of spelling my name. I will tell everybody. I will post it in your Facebook group, and then also on Cats and Kilts, my Twitter handle.
Okay.
So if you guys keep an eye out for that, that would be great. And it, like Sam says, you don't have to be a sewer to enjoy the details she shares.
Right.
And it is really interesting to hear the questions. But if you're at all interested in cosplay, even though Liz is not a cosplay person, that comes up in the conversation too, talking about the people who have been inspired by some of the stuff she's worked on and then gone on to do it in cosplay.
Interesting.
And Kathy,
there have
you've
been
got
some
people
great
from
cosplays.
Oh yeah. Kathy, you got people from all over the world. There was somebody from Brazil and the Netherlands, and
oh, that's cool.
You got people from various places.
Germany, Italy.
Canada. Yep.
We had two people from Australia, but they didn't make it. Oh, this is another thing for you. We know how it goes. Sometimes you buy a ticket to something and then you either forget, even with the reminders, or something else in real life comes up. So what we did, and we will continue to do, is I record the event, and then I send you the link to the video of it that you can watch for 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to watch it before I take it down again. We don't get it out there circulating,
right.
You know, because we want people to buy a ticket to come see Liz live. But yeah, if you miss it, you will have the opportunity to see it anyway. And so we had a couple of Australians buy tickets, and then they just didn't quite make it. So they've been able to watch the video.
That's likely to be me, because I would like to buy a ticket for the 27th, but I'm not likely to be able to be on it. So I would like to see it then. That's great.
Yeah, and so we'll continue to do these. I don't know how much longer people's interest will be in spending money to watch something on their computer once, you know, hopefully in the summer when things open up a little bit more, when more people have their vaccines. But we're going to do it for as long as there's some interest in it.
Good.
So, and just as the third remark, I did also watch SAS Red Notice, and I am not an action film person. I won't tell you I've only ever watched Die Hard once. I will not say that because people will hate on me, but I've only seen Die Hard once, and I've never watched
any
other
ones.
No, I won't. And please don't share that with anyone. It's just between us.
Well, for the number of people who actually listen to this radio show, so.
Your secret's safe.
Yes, but the people who listen know me, and they will come for me. But I thought it was good. I mean, I didn't just go, oh, wow, that was great. But I thought it was good. I was entertained. I, there were some things that to me seemed really, really predictable, but then there were some things that I was like, oh, wow, I didn't see that coming. And one of the things, even though we didn't really get to see him that much, but Tom Hopper, who was in Black Sails and a lot of other things, he played Declan, the other guy in SAS.
Tom's Fred.
If you're a Tom Hopper fan, he was in that, and I thought that in there. But I have to admit, as silly and goofy as it was, I still like The Spy Who Dumped Me better, because that's more my kind of action movie, because there's lots more laughs. I'm really not in the let's explode and blow and people die and everything. No. I'm more the silly girls getting in trouble in foreign countries kind of humor. So,
but he's probably not going to win awards with that. It's fun and it's entertaining, but this is along the lines of people looking at and going, okay, I could see him as a Bond or as a,
I know. It's definitely a more real movie. I mean, like
real
you said,
movie.
As opposed
to those fake ones.
It was a Bond audition.
Well, as opposed to the lightweight ones that you know no one's ever going to, I mean, you're lucky if it gets passed on word of mouth. But, this is the kind of action thing that, unfortunately, if the theaters were open, would probably have a big fanfare and everything and lots of premieres and get a lot more people in. So it'll be interesting, and it certainly sounds like they're open to doing more.
More sequels, right? There are several more SAS books. There was actually... go ahead.
I was just going to say, was it Sam, were you the one that said they called it Red Notice? I googled. No, it was you. Okay. Well, I googled it while you were talking, and evidently that's kind of a. It's almost like, you know, when our police put out a BOLO, a be on the lookout for.
Right. Right.
A red notice is the same thing, like at an international level.
Mm.
Okay.
And there's a movie called Red Notice.
Yes,
but not
it came
SAS.
Out several
Red
years ago. Yeah, it's not
yeah.
the SAS, but anyway, just a little, there you go. I'm always happy to share my Googling skills with you.
Yeah, well, I was doing that while I was watching, too, because you mentioned Tom Hopper. The guy who played, the man who worked for the prime minister was Andy Serkis, who did all the motion capture for Gollum, and he has done other motion capture.
Oh, right.
And the leader of the SAS team that went in, that Ruby Rose killed two-thirds of the way through the movie, had been one of the companions in Doctor Who. He played Mickey, Rose's good friend in Doctor Who. And toward the end, we saw the guy who played Lord Merton in Downton Abbey, who was Isabel Crawley's friend and eventually fiancé. So, you know, people kept popping up that we recognized. I really think there are only 10 British actors, and they're in everything. They just circulate through everything, you know.
And they make them dye their hair black, you know. I don't get it. Although I did like his shorter haircut. I thought it was a nice little military cut. I thought it looked good on him.
I was just going to say it was
entertaining. Yeah.
You know, I have a running debate with my conscience about watching movies like this. I enjoy the blow 'em up action films, and then my conscience says, but should you be paying money and giving attention to movies
violent.
With high body counts? You know, is that something that in your moral code that you should really be doing? You know, should you be looking for the more gentler, kinder side of life? And then I like the explosions. So,
there was culture. You got to hear Sam speak French. You know, there was culture in there, too.
Yeah, well.
And you
Some
see the Eiffel Tower. You learn about train travel from England to France. You learn about the tunnel. So there's some, you know, architectural elements that I never thought about when thinking about the channel. You know, so there you
That's
go.
That's pretty amazing
you can...
engineering.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It really is.
I'm not sure. I've never done the channel. When I had gone across the channel, that was when they were still using, like, the hydroplanes and stuff like that. You know, so you were on this little boat that just sort of skimmed across the water, which was horrifying. But I just have this thing about you're underneath all of that water. And it's not like it's a quick ride. Like, okay, when I'm in New York City, there's – you know, you're going under the Hudson River. You're under there for a couple of minutes and not a big deal. I mean, this is a really long tunnel. This is you just can't think about the fact that, oh, my gosh, you know, what happens? Yeah, it's a little harrowing for me. But
well,
of course, now that I've seen this movie, I may never take a train, you know, from England.
Yeah, it was interesting. There was a lot of geopolitical crises built into there, and paramilitary groups being funded by governments, and you know, lots of
espionage,
current world espionage. So, but kind of along that line, there's a new movie coming out Friday, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but it's with Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm dying to see it, called The Courier.
Oh, okay, and Benedict Cumberbatch.
I know, but it's only going to be in theaters.
Oh.
Oh.
So,
I don't even know if there's any theaters near me open. Are there theaters open?
It's going to be at the AMC Woodfield Theater.
That's not really near me.
Now we have to start
What's it called?
The Courier. The Courier.
Oh, okay.
So
we do like us some Benedict.
Yeah, it's a Cold War spy movie. So it said he's an unwitting spy for England in Russia. So that's definitely my kind of movie. And Benedict Cumberbatch is I think making me being willing to sit in a movie theater. So we'll have to see.
Well, I go for my first shot tomorrow morning. I got an appointment. So in another month, I will sit in a movie theater.
Very good. Very good. I've been trying. It's been making me crazy. But
every morning I was trying. And Monday morning it came up, and Charlie and I both went on there because we're both 1B. So, yeah.
Where did you get it?
Right at the Walgreens, right up the road.
You know,
nice.
Monday morning in Walgreens, I was ready to throw something out a window because they said that there were appointments available right near me, and then it said they couldn't schedule a second dose, so they weren't scheduling anything. And this was like all day. Anywhere I looked, it didn't matter where I looked, and I was looking from Gurnee, which is way east of me, as far south as Naperville, and out toward Rockford. So
that was me last week. I was putting in zip codes that, you know, wherever.
Right.
You know.
Right. We could have gotten an appointment if we want to drive to Quincy, 5 hours away. So
that's a long drive. Yeah. Twice. You'd have to do it twice.
Yeah. Yeah. Feeling sick, you know, there'd be 10-hour drive in one day, or if you'd stayed overnight, you'd have your side effects coming on the next day. So
If you have side effects. Is your arm sore? Wait, that's tomorrow, Sam, right?
Tomorrow. I haven't had it yet. It's tomorrow morning.
You can't tell me if your arm's sore yet. Okay, got it.
Well, Kat, we're really glad you called in and chatted with us, and I will put you on the interested list for any potential Disney event.
Yeah.
Yes. And if it's successful at Disney World, then we do need to try and have a West Coast edition, because I think that's where we'd have the chance to coax Diana.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, both she and Ron do
and
Disneyland, right?
Yeah, they're Disneyland, she and Ron. Hey, by the way, did you see the other Ron Moore thing about it's SEA, but it's going to be a world at Disney Plus. He's doing another show in the work about the people at the Disneyland who actually have real life in another world.
Yes, that was fascinating. I think we talked about that a little bit last week.
We did.
And I did ask Terry Dressbach on Twitter, do you think he'd talk to me about it? And she says, I'll make him, so.
Wonderful. I'll look forward to that. So, okay, well, thanks for the support of the event. And for anyone listening, I will post it on Aaron's Outlandishly 3 by Space after midnight tonight.
Perfect.
Terrific.
Midnight Central.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Kat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Fun.
It's always fun to chat with her.
Yeah.
If you want to call in and talk with us, 929-477-3898. We've got about 6 minutes left today, and we'll be happy to chat with you for a few minutes if you want to call in and talk with us. So we know next week there is no Men in Kilts episode.
Correct.
And that pushes the final episode on Culloden out to the anniversary of the battle in April. So April 11th will be the final episode. So we still have three left. There will be an episode on Easter, but there will not be an episode next week. So, and next week, instead of, you know, obviously I can't do a review of something that isn't on. So I will be posting the conversation I had with Jamie Kerstorfen and his wife, Charlotte Gollidge, that we ran the whole thing of last week on this show. So if you would like to read that or see the video that we took from our Zoom call, I'll have that next week. But what do we have coming up for Men in Kilts? We've got the episode on Culloden.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks, we have an episode. It's Sea, Air, and Land. It's the...
Oh. I thought you were saying
sea,
like
Aaron,
sea,
E-R-I-N, sea, Aaron.
I heard that too.
Okay.
Sea, Aaron, land, yes.
Sea, Aaron, land. Aaron, where are you landing?
Hopefully somewhere in Scotland, right?
So that's going to be a gorgeous, another one with really nice scenery.
Yeah, it will be beautiful for sure.
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And then the one after that will be on tartans. And I'm hoping we see prickly thistle. That will be fun to see in that one. But we've got, you know, some interesting things coming up. And then we'll wait, I'm sure, to find out if we're going to be getting a season two. What would we hope for season two?
Other than longer episodes?
More, yeah, longer episodes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As
like
for
to
topics, though,
I'd like to see some of the stuff that they filmed for Clanlands come up either as extras on a DVD. Mm-hmm. That would be great, or used in a season two.
I think that to tie in with even some of Sam's interest in the hill walking and the Monroes, you know, maybe there could be a show on that one, because he could show pictures from up at the top. But even Ben Nevis has a cable car. You can go part way up on like a ski lifty kind of, you know, a cable car that'll take you up there. And then, and there's a place to eat and drink and whatnot. So, I mean, I would think that he could have a whole thing about his love of hill walking and Monroe bagging and whatnot. That would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could still tease Graham about, you know, maybe not be specific to climb or something, you know.
Yeah,
because you got to have that angle.
It would be cool to see something on contemporary Scottish artists, you know, and maybe talk to the
mom,
designer of the Kelpies, and
the Kelpies, that would be a cool thing for them to cover just by itself.
Yeah,
or a whole show on the Edinburgh Fringe, or even Hogmanay. Because they do a whole week of festival, and so we can write this stuff for
castles, or take a trip down the locks. You know, the lock system that's I've read about this since I've never been to Scotland, but you can take a boat tour through the connecting locks,
and the Falkirk Wheel, which is
fascinating.
Happens
to the North Coast 500.
Yeah.
Do the whole North Coast road thing all the way around Scotland.
Right.
It's gorgeous.
So there would be plenty. And then I guess Sam and Graham did talk about, in one interview, was it, about would they consider expanding this to other countries? You know, like
New Zealand,
where Graham lives, you know, and something like that, which might take more coordination, but... I think that could be interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a pretty good article in this week's Parade magazine online. Paulette Cohn is an Outlander fan. She's in the Outlander SoCal group, and she has written several articles for Parade magazine on Outlander. And she has, see, I know I've got it here, Parade magazines, parade.com. And she has an article on Sam in SAS Red Notice and Outlander Season 6 spoilers. And it's a pretty good interview. And then, Collider.com has an interview with Sam that I have not watched. Kind of the introductory text kind of turned me off because it's poorly written. But that's video, and that should be interesting to see. Question: does he feel like John from Die Hard, as Kathy mentioned a little bit about? And it says, what happened? The director tells him, we need to get this in one take. And I'm sure, Sam, you could look at things and see where they would have done one take on stuff in the movie. So that would be an interesting, I think I'll watch that anyway. I'm turning Tara Bennett has done a couple of interviews, and I'll have to check. I haven't seen them come up yet, but for Sci-Fi Wire about Men in Kilts. So we'll have to look at those. And I'm going to see if I can talk Tara into joining us in the next couple of weeks and chat with us about her experience watching Men in Kilts.
Neat.
So, yeah. Getting a notice that my audio is cutting out from time to time. I really need to upgrade my system. I have a new computer and get that fixed. But I think in 2 weeks when we come back together, it'll either be on my laptop or on my new computer system, and that will help.
Ooh,
I just
exciting.
Pushed the cord in for my microphone a little better, so hopefully
that actually you
good.
Sound much better now.
Yep.
So. Okay. Good.
That was an easy solution.
I wasn't even going to out you. That's why I was texting you.
Well, you know, kind of much everything I read comes right out my mouth. So
no filter.
No filter. None at all. So, well, okay, if we don't have any more callers tonight, I hope people will consider coming back to blogtalkradio.com/3ifbyspace, tell your friends. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes, including last week's with the interview with Jamie and Charlotte, who did the Greyfriars Kirkyard segment on last week's Men in Kilts. And join us. Honestly, we have not yet decided if we're going to be on the air next week, because unless something really comes up to talk about, we just might take the night off.
Mm-hmm.
But we will definitely be back in 2 weeks. We'll see where I am. I might be calling you from Florida, and so we'll see how that goes. But thank you very much for joining me today, Sam and Allison.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we will see you again soon. But look for my review of SAS Red Notice tomorrow on 3fbyspace.net. And join us on Facebook at Outlandishly 3fbyspace. And we will chat about everything there. So take care, have a good evening, and have a good rest of your week.
Bye.